Well, good morning. It's great to see all of you this morning. Good to have our visitors with us. We're so glad that you are here. If you would take a copy of God's Word and turn to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. We have for some time been preaching through the gospel according to Mark. We're taking a short break as I want to focus on next few weeks the local church. The local church. Galatians chapter 6, our main verse for this morning will be found in verse 10, but I want to read the first, the previous verses starting in verse 6. Galatians 6 and verse 6 says, "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore," again, this is our focus this morning, "therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." I want to speak to you this morning on this thought, the local church, a family of faith. Let's pray together once again. Our Father, we thank you, Father, for this beautiful day that you've given us, that we can come into this place without fear of interruption from government intervention. We have the freedom to worship, and we give you the glory for that. Father, I pray that you bless this time of preaching. Father, I pray that you give us listening ears, hearts that are receptive to receive it. And that, Lord, that through the work of the Spirit, Lord, you would apply these truths to our heart. Lord, I pray that we would have a more love, a greater love for your church, specifically the local church, this local church. Lord, may you give us a stronger love, a greater zeal, Lord, to serve you within this church. Father, we ask you, Lord, to be with those who are unable to be here due to sickness. Father, we pray for those who are here who are lost. They don't know your Son Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so, Father, we pray that you, through the Holy Spirit, would draw them to your Son, that today would be the day of salvation. Father, we love you, and we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Here we see in Galatians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul made an appeal to the church in Galatia. He said, "Let us do good to all." And he makes this appeal for them to do good to all in light of the fact that they more than likely were going to grow weary in well-doing. He tells them to do good to all in light of the fact that not only would they grow weary in well-doing, but they may even lose heart. I think we can identify to that to some degree. We all can get overwhelmed. We can all get discouraged. We can all get so down that it seems as if nothing is going right. Losing heart sometimes takes place in the heart and mind of a Christian because maybe we're not seeing the answers to our prayer in the time that we might expect them to be answered. Maybe we have sown what is good. We have sown what is good in word. We have sown what is good in deed. And yet they have not seen the fruit of what we are looking for at the time in which we hoped for it. And so Paul would have them to continue to sow. Continue to sow the seed and to continue then to expect that they would reap in due time. And this would glorify God. But Paul says in verse 10 that though you may grow weary in well-doing, you may lose heart. He says, nevertheless, in verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I want to focus this morning on that household of faith. That household of faith as it relates to our local church here at Barrel Baptist. And to whom are we to do good? And how often are we to do good? Well, notice with me, first of all, we must be faithful to do good to those who are outside of the church. We must be faithful to do good to those who are outside the church, those who are lost, those who are not believers. Again, Paul says in verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. According to this verse, Paul is saying a Christian is someone who does all kinds of good to all kinds of people. Christians are to do some good for all. Now, what does the word good mean? What kind of good are we to do for those who are lost or outside the church? Well, good is from the Greek word agathos and has a definite article in front of it in the Greek. And the words Paul is speaking of here is a particular good. He's saying the good. It is the goodness of a moral and spiritual excellence that is a fruit of the Spirit. And listen, Paul here is not using the other Greek word halos here for the Greek word goodness that is limited to a physical and temporal things. No, Paul is speaking of internal goodness that is produced by the Spirit of God in the hearts of obedient believers, which then finds expression in external goodness that is spoken by the mouth or performed by the hands. We notice that it is also good that is unqualified good. It is unrestricted good that is to be shown to all men, including unbelievers. We're to show and do good to all. Now, that's a pretty tall order. Is it not? Listen, it's easy to do good to those who do good to you, right? It's easy to be nice to someone who is nice to you. It's easy to serve those whom we think genuinely appreciate giving of our time. It's easy to be polite and to a good neighbor. It's hard to be polite to a bad neighbor, right? But what about those who are unkind? What about those who are unreceptive to our message? What about those who do not appreciate what we do and they antagonize us? Are we to ignore them? Are we to refuse to serve them or share the gospel with them? Well, beloved, we don't have the right to pick and choose to whom we will serve and do good. We cannot gravitate only to those whom we perceive that fit our mold. We are to do good to all men, all classes of men, the rich and the poor, all races of men, all tongues of men. We are to do good to those who are in the church and those who are outside of the church. those who are in Christ and those who are not in Christ. So that speaks of here, Paul is speaking of the totality of humanity. Paul is saying, in essence, we are to overlook no one. We are to do good to all. Hey, listen, if there is an opportunity to serve, we are expected to embrace that opportunity. And Paul did not say that it would be easy, right? But it is to be expected. Notice what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. He said, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." And then we think about the great commandment that Jesus gave. How he said we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul and our mind, and as well as love our neighbor as ourselves. So doing good to all means all men, all classes of men. We don't pick and choose to whom we want to show grace to. Now, what are some ways that we can do good to those who are outside of the church, those who are lost? Well, Jesus mentions six different ways in Matthew 25. Let me just give you those really quick. He mentions feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, showing hospitality to strangers, those who are not a part of the family, clothing the naked, caring for the sick, and visiting prisoners. So doing good means, in a more practical way maybe, watching out for our neighbors, helping out in the community. There are gracious acts that we can do as believers for those who are outside of the church, those who are outside of Christ. But it also means doing spiritual good. Those who are within the church are to do spiritual good to those who are without the church. That is praying for those who are lost. Praying for those who need Christ. And then also giving them the good news about Jesus Christ, how He can save them from their sin. Notice what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, "For such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men." That by doing right, by doing good, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. So Peter says that your good deeds that are done in the right spirit may, and notice Peter uses that word may, not all the time. It may silence those who criticize Christianity. But beloved, here's the thing. It is true that when Christians show loving concern, it will do more to win a person to Christ than the most carefully articulated argument will. It's called building a relationship with those who are outside of the church, those who are outside of Christ. Beloved, the heart of every Christian testimony should be, in all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, what the Apostle Paul said. He said this in Titus chapter 2. In verse 7, Paul admonished Titus with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, in order that the opponent may be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. And then later on in chapter 3, in the same letter, Paul says, "Concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men." And so the scripture here strikes the proper balance. Paul says, let us do good to all men, those who are in the church, those who are without the church, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. Christians are to do good to all. That's what it says. But nevertheless, we have a special responsibility to care for other Christians. You see, as we live generously, and as we live graciously, and do good, we are called to prioritize the local church. Yes, we are to do good to everyone, believer and unbeliever alike. As Paul is concerned to point out, Christians ought to do good, especially to those who are the household of faith. That brings us to our second point. We must be especially faithful. You could even say particularly faithful to do good to those inside the church. Again, Galatians 6 verse 10 tells us, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Literally, those who belong to the family of believers. Those who belong in the family of God. Friend, listen, do you know when you join a local New Testament church, you are in essence joining a family? You're joining a family. Listen, we have the same Father, right? And we have experienced the same spiritual birth. We have experienced grace beyond measure. We have experienced mercy. And the early church realized that as the household of faith, you draw near when you are together more than just on a Sunday for 2 hours. We are a family of believers. A family of believers. We are children of God. How? By adoption. Amen? We are all children of God by adoption. Those who are in Christ. We are all members of the same household, the same spiritual family. Of course, this family metaphor has really no end to application when looking at the church. But the point is, because we are family, because we are of the same household, we have the same Father. We've all experienced the same grace and mercy. Because of that, it is absolutely necessary for Christians to be good to one another. And this is not a matter about being selfish. It is a matter about being a good witness. Because how can we fulfill our mission to show God's love to the world without first showing love to one another? Our love and support of the household of faith is one of the first indicators of genuine love for the Lord that reveals our relationship with Him. John said this, 1 John 3, verse 14. He said, we know that we have passed from death unto life. How? Because why? We love the brethren. And he that loves not his brother abides in death. So this serves as one of the greatest tools in reaching a lost world, showing love toward one another. Jesus said, they will know that you are my disciples and that you love one another. Listen, our love and support for one another speaks volumes it speaks loudly to a lost world. The world should find a presence of love and support within the church greater and more obvious than anywhere else in society. This is why church splits and church factions and church splinters of splits, and I have seen that, are so destructive. They're not only destructive to that local church, obviously, but they are destructive to the community. He knows that those people at that local church can't even get along one with another. They don't even love each other. Why should I be concerned about of the things they do in that local church? Years ago, when Amanda and I, when I became the pastor at Enola Baptist Church, can you believe that was 25 years ago? I can't be that old. But I am. We went out and went visiting, knocking on doors, and I can't tell you how many people that answered the door said, "I'm not going to that church." All you hear about is church split after church split, and they were correct. The church was a splinter off of a splinter off of a split. Horrible testimony. Totally lost their testimony because they were not prioritizing their love for one another. If we have ever loved one another, if we have ever served one another, now is the time to make that a priority of our life because a lost world is watching. So when Paul says, "Let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith," he is saying this: the local church must be our top priority. It must be. Why? Well, because it is our primary family. The local church is our primary family. It is, the apostle says, the household of faith. In the local church, it is where we find identity, it is where we find security, receive nurture and nourishment, is where we find and should find encouragement and support. In the local church, we should find benefit from teaching and training and modeling and mentoring, discipling. The local church is our spiritual home. And those who gather week by week are biblically speaking, our true brothers and sisters. You remember a few weeks ago, preaching through the Gospel of Mark and getting to Mark chapter 3, records there a time when Jesus' mother and his brothers show up to the house where he was busy ministering to people. And when Jesus heard that they wanted to speak with him and they really wanted to take him, remember, take him back home. But Jesus asked this provocative question to those who were gathered there in that house when they told him, "Hey, your mom and your brothers are outside and they want you." He asked this question to those inside the house: "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And then in Mark chapter 3, verse 35, he said this: "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." So those who do the will of God belong to Jesus' family and are members of what Paul calls the household of faith. And it is our brothers and sisters in faith who deserve then our primary support. Now, not of course to the neglect of our blood relations, right? 1 Timothy chapter 5 talks about that. But we are not to treat the church as an afterthought. We are to prioritize the local church, the bride of Christ, our brother and sister in Christ. But here's the bottom line. Listen, when we will only prioritize giving and doing good to the local church, when we are fully convinced that the local church is the one-of-a-kind institution it truly is. When you see the local church in its glory and its splendor, you will have no problem prioritizing the local church. Remember, Jesus, beloved, is the head of the church. He's the head of the church. No other institution can say that. Jesus is our head. Beloved, listen, no other institution serves as the dwelling place of God's people. There's no other institution that has so remarkable tracing its roots back to before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4. Nor is there any other institution with the church's future extending as it does into eternity. No other institution can declare its significance that is going to follow on into eternity. Only the church can. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, one of these days we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And when we do, we shall forever be with the Lord. So this is why we must prioritize giving and doing good to the local church. Now, let's think about this by way of application and practically speaking, how can we do good to our brothers and sisters within this body? Practically speaking, what does all this mean? What are some ways we can do good? Well, let me give you some very quickly. And in the next few weeks, we'll look at these in greater detail. But very quickly, let me just give you a few ways of how we can do good for those in the household of faith. Number one, show hospitality. Show hospitality. There are numerous scripture references on how we are to show hospitality with those who are within the church and to those who are outside the church. The Bible calls them strangers, foreigners, to show them hospitality. That is, we are to invite believers into our home, share a meal with believers. But it's more than just that. It's more than just idle chat. It's more than just talking about the Razorbacks. It's more than just talking about politics. It's about talking about the things of God. You're encouraging your brother, your sister. You're talking about personal needs that if one feels led to share with you. Showing hospitality. Another way we can do good for those who are in the household of faith is offer practical assistance. Offer practical help. For those within our church, there are those who are sick. Or maybe those who have a sick family member that they have to care for and that takes a lot of their time. Well, listen, offer to them. You know the need. Offer to them some help. With some household tasks, maybe run an errand, provide transportation, whatever the case is. This can be particularly helpful for those who are elderly and have other limitations. This is doing good, especially to those within the church. Another way is provide emotional support. Maybe you just need to be a good listener. And maybe you just need to be a good encourager to those who are hurting. Maybe you need to pray with them, pray for them, with them, for those going through difficult times. And then another way to do good is give financially. Offer financial assistance to a church member who is in legitimate need. And then share your testimony. Share the hope that you have in Jesus Christ with fellow, even with fellow believers who may need encouragement in their faith. Share your testimony of maybe a similar situation that you have gone through, that you can help them in their time of trial. But listen, if you are to do good unto your brother and sister in this church, that means you need to know your brother and sister in Christ so well that you know their need. And this is where we're lacking in our body. We need to do better to reach out to those that we don't know within this fellowship and to get to know them, because they are your brother and sister as well. And we'll speak more about this later. Let's notice thirdly and lastly, we must be faithful to do good to those inside and outside the church now, presently. The last thing to notice is that we are to do good to one another and to everyone else, as Paul says, as we have opportunity. So he says there in verse 10, that does not mean that the good is something we do only now and then. That's not what Paul's talking about here. Rather, the Greek word for opportunity is the word for time or season. So thus it conveys the urgency. Now that we are in the season, now that we are in this particular time, now's the time to do good. Right now is the season of sowing good deeds. Now the season for you to scatter good deeds. And so it conveys here the urgency of the coming harvest that Paul has mentioned in the previous verses. So this is a limited opportunity. It's what Paul's saying. Therefore, as we have opportunity, as we have this season to sow good seed, you need to sow it. Don't waste your life thinking of only yourself, which we're so natural prone to do. Paul is saying there is a time to sow, and there will also in the future be a time to reap. And soon the seed time will be over, and the day of harvest will come. Reaping is for the life to come, beloved. That's what we have to remember. We want to sow now, we want to reap now, right? But reaping is for the life to come. This lifetime is for the what? The sowing. So we must seize the opportunity to sow good works while we still have the time to all men, those who are outside the church, those who are inside the church, but especially to those who are our brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ. I ask you this morning, are you in the family of faith? Can you say, Brother Wade, I know that I am in the household of faith? How do you become in the family of faith? Well, you have to place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. You must repent, have a change of mind toward God, and you're to turn from yourself and your sin and turn to Christ as the only Savior. and trust Him. And Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will no wise cast out. So placing your faith and trust in Christ is the only way to be in the household of faith. And if you are in this household of faith here at this local church, here at Beryl, I would ask you to pray that God would enlarge your reach of ministering and serving one another here in this local church, and then even enlarge your reach to those who are outside this church. You ought to, and I know you do, you ought to be friend, you ought to have friends who are lost. You ought to have relationships with those who are not in Christ. And if you don't, think about this, how are they ever going to hear and know the gospel? You need to have good relationships. They need to see Christ in you. Build relationships with those who are lost. And then even build relationships with those within this family, your brother and sister in Christ, that you may better serve them and encourage them. You can't encourage anybody that you don't know who is living in disappointment. Get to know one another better. And we'll talk about different ways in the weeks to come. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this passage of Scripture, Lord, how really convicting it is. And I certainly had to do a lot of preaching to myself before I was able to preach to those before me. Father, I pray that You would enlarge my reach. Lord, help me to do good, to show grace and mercy to those who are outside and to those who are inside. Lord, I pray that we would, here at Beryl, would love one another. I pray that we would love one another and serve one another in such a way that we would absolutely be a light in this community, in a world of darkness. In a world that is constantly at odds with one another, there is so much division, so much disunity. Lord, what a testimony right now to be a church that is in unity, loving one another for the cause and spread of the gospel. Father, I pray that You would help us. I pray, Lord, for those who are lost, Lord, that they would call upon Christ even now, believing upon Him. Lord, I pray for those who are looking for a local church. They're wanting to join. Father, I pray that You would speak to them, give them discernment as to where You would have them grow and where You would have them to serve others and love others. As we love them and serve them. Father, I pray that You bless the remainder of this day. May we meditate upon what we have heard. And may Satan not steal the message from our hearts. We pray and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand. No. Is that right? Okay. We're doing things different here at the end, and I'll just make sure I was right. Let's stand. All right. I do want to thank all the visitors here that thank you for coming today. And I would encourage you to get to know these visitors that are here. Welcome them to our church family here as we sing.
All right, church. We're going to close this part of the service with Him, God is so good.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He cares for me. He's so
seated at this time. This is our graduation recognition Sunday for any high school seniors that we have that are graduating members here at Barrel Baptist Church. And so I'm going to ask Riley Rooney if she will come down. And after this video, I'm going to come back and say a few words. All right. Forward. I forgot to turn my mic off when I went down, sitting there the whole time, so I apologize for that. Riley Grace Rooney. Parents Patrick and April Rooney. Grandparents Mickey and Charlene Rooney, Fortner, if I said Rooney. Siblings. Mackenzie, Carter, and Chloe, graduating from Bologna High School. She is graduating with honors and has awards in the Division of Career in Technical Education for Nutrition Science and Dietetics. human and social services as well. And during her senior year, she was part of the HUB program where she worked a full-time job and while attending school as well. I love that. I really do. After graduation, she's fixing to get married to a gentleman by the name of Paxton Goza. If you want to stand up, Paxton, look here. All right. Paxton. He was in one of those photos. I noticed that. But she's also exploring, college and future and the possibility of becoming an ultrasound technician or a career in nursing. And her favorite Bible verse is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because when things get tough, I remember who gives me the strength to carry on and persevere through the hard things in life. So as you embark on this new journey, I want to just give you some things to think about. As from a church perspective, from a biblical perspective, plans and dreams change, but God doesn't. Okay? God's plan will take you to places in your life you hadn't thought of yet. Even if your plans falter, God's plans for you and your life are still secure. God's providence is one of the sweetest, most comforting doctrines in all of Christian theology. He is both sovereign and good, and He has already prearranged everything that happens in your life. Whether good or bad, whether small or big, it is going to be for His glory and your good. Okay? Embrace it. Trust Him and be thankful. Number two, keep God first. Keep God first. The world will say, and they've said this for a long time, reach for the stars or you've got this. And on the surface, those are good words of encouragement. However, from a biblical perspective, instead of reach for the stars, we plead with you to reach for Jesus. And instead of you've got this, always remember God's got this. Keep Him first in everything you do. And last, don't try to live your Christian life on your own. God's plan A is the church. There is no plan B. Wherever you go, be sure to get plugged into a good gospel-centered Bible-preaching church. You can't live the Christian life alone. Know that Jesus loves you, and so does His church. We're here for you. Get ready for the adventure of the real world. And I'll leave you with this. Following Jesus is costly, but it is always worth it. Okay? So, our 2023 graduate this year, Riley Grace Rooney. Everybody give him applause. And we have just a little sending off package to you. Carrie made this, and it's got a personal study Bible for you with your name on it. And I pray that you'll carry that with you through your life, because that is going to be your guiding words and direction for the rest of your life. Okay? I'm going to ask Riley and her family if you will go back to the foyer. And church, I just want you to go by and give her love and support and encouragement as we dismiss this morning. So church, let's stand in dismissal. And Rob, you can go ahead and make your way back there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verses 12 through 13. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. And all God's people said, amen. You're dismissed.